We continue the shiur in Sicha Yisharan, Seif Kuf Yud Zayin. Ben Azal's sayings, paragraph 117. Until now we've had the sayings of Ben Azal, and tonight, this paragraph, we deviate momentarily, speaking about part of Ben Azal's life. Ben Azal lived in a city, a village that is near the city of Medvedivka, very close to it. It was called Asaton. The city lived his father-in-law. That's where Ben Azal spent a great deal of his youth. Of course, we know he was married at the age of 13. And there he spent his youth until his greatness was revealed. He began to acquire a large number of followers who understood a little about Ben Azal's greatness. To describe Ben Azal's greatness is impossible. We cannot, because we know very simply, as we'll learn later on in Chayei Maran, that the achievement, the degree, the level of Ben Azal's neshama, the height that he reached, is indescribable. So high that the Rizal says, Yeri HaKadosh, who is the master of Kabbalah, who deals with the Neshamas, since creation until the coming of Mashiach, the Rizal reveals all the Gilgulim, every person, every tzaddik, who was his Gilgul, who was his Shredish, his origin. The Rizal says that the peak of a tzaddik's Neshama is a certain point. We'll mention the Kabbalah terms for it. This is the point of the height that the neshama will reach, not that it could reach high, but it will reach that height. The Mashiach himself will have a certain height and greatness, and that height Ben Azal surpassed. He reached that height, passed it, and went on to much greater heights. And of course, this is no kasha on the Arizal. Arizal knew the world, knew the greatness of the world, and speaking about those tzaddikim whom he mentioned. Ben Azal is known as the Oir HaNe'alam, a hidden light hidden from all other people, including all other tzaddikim. Ashrei to those who just accept with pure faith Ben Azal's greatness and Ben Azal's teachings. Now, Ben Azal stressed many times that what makes a tzaddik great? Does he perform mysticism? Does he perform mysterious acts? Very simply, a tzaddik is great because of his simpleness, simple acts. What made Moshe Rabbeinu great? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu greater than any other tzaddik? He knew more, he had a better head, or he davened with more kavana. The many tzaddikim who davened with all the kavana possible, physically, mentally, in the heart, yet they nowhere near compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. His greatness was his anivus, his humbleness, where he humbled himself before everyone else, and of course before Hashem. There are a lot of people who are very humble, a lot of people who are very modest. That's because they are nothing. There's a difference between nothing and considering yourself nothing when you really are great. This is the main teaching of the Ben Azal, who says that the Ikar Avedas Hashem, in serving Hashem, is not to have so much chachmas, so much wisdom, so many tricks, but to act as simply as possible. The greater the tzaddik, the more simply he serves Hashem, as a small child would serve his father. And this lesson, of course, we learn kaviyachal from Hashem himself. Hashem's greatness is infinite. There is no possibility of speaking about or discussing Hashem's greatness. It is infinity. And yet, in that infinity of Hashem's greatness, we find anvis sanusai, kaviyachal. It means, if we could even mention that word, the modesty, humbleness of Hashem. And Hashem, in all his greatness, Kaviyacha lowered himself down to this lowest of all worlds and accepts the tefillos, the service of simple mortal beings, and shows the deep heavenly love to tzaddikim who serve him with this same degree of simplicity. Peter Ben Azal tells that in this village, in his youth, this is how he became great. There, Rabbi Elazar always taught that the key to a person becoming pure, to serving Hashem, to becoming a tzaddik, the key is tefillah, davening, and above all, hispedidus. Because tefillah itself means you daven shachris, you come to shul in the morning, you attend the minyan, you daven with kavona, you stand shmon esrei, you do not allow your mind to wander. Don't think about your business problems or about your finances or about your social problems or about things, plans that you have for the future or your needs. This person needs money to buy certain things. This person is short on something else. This person is in dire, desperate need of a shidduch. He's trying so hard and yet so far he has not succeeded. He's making more and more plans as to how to go about it, when and actuality, he should put all these thoughts aside. Whatever you need, you have come to the source right there. You're speaking to Hashem. Everything you need is found in the Shemen Esrei. The first beracha, the first tefillah of Shemen Esrei, after the Avos, after the Gimel and Yishayin, is the first three, the opening brachas, is the bracha of Chayin Adas. First, the most important tefillah request is for intelligence, for chachma, wisdom, bina, das. That is the opening bracha, and that is the main request that a person should ask for. And then, of course, following that, we have even the material requests for good health, for panosa, for livelihood, above all, for the coming of Mashiach, and so on. These are all brachos, tefillos, that a person says in Shemena Esrei, and he is not to allow his mind to wander into mundane items, selfish details about himself or his needs, because you have everything there in the Shemena Esrei. You must realize that, for example, in Shachas, is the part of tefillah where a person has risen above all the heavens and come to the very top, above the throne of Hashem. It's called the Elam HaAtzilus. There he is standing within the throne of Hashem, speaking directly to Hashem. How can he allow his mind to wander when he's speaking to the King of Kings? So this is still regular tefillah. Higher than that is hispedidus. Hispedidus means that these are all set patterns. The words are the same constantly. Same tefillah for shachris, mincha and maariv, 6 days a week. On Shabbos you have different words for the tefillahs. Each Shabbos they are the same. But this means words that are original. They come directly from a person's heart. A person's bitter feelings, a person's depressed feelings, chas v'shalom. These feelings a person pours out to Hashem. The warmest, the closest, the greatest friend a person can have is Hashem. The infinite kindness, Rachma of Hashem, is always present, always ready to accept a person's tefillah. This is his hispedidus, which means the private communion, discussion between a Jew and Hashem. He goes into a private room, or he goes to an area that is private, outside of the city limits, in the forest, in the woods, and there he pours out his heart to Hashem, asking for whatever he needs. Especially, most important, the privilege of being able to serve Hashem and to become closer to Hashem. Much closer, not to allow himself to become estranged through sinful ways, through the Yetzer Hara, through taivas, desires, earthly desires. This pouring out his heart to Hashem is what can bring a person to new and higher levels in Kedusha. This is what the Rabbi Elazar tells as the key to his own greatness. In this village of Asatun, there was a river, and along the banks of this river there grew tall reeds, marshes. Rabbi Elazar's custom would be, that he would take a small boat, like a rowboat, and go out onto this river. The river was turbulent. And he'd take this boat, go out rowing to the deeper part of this river, where he'd be hidden from the shore, from any person, hidden by these tall reeds and marshes. And there, though of course he was not experienced in rowing a boat, handling a boat, despite this, he would take this risk, go out into the depth, far recess of this river, and there where he was hidden, no one would see him, there he did this act in his bitterness. There he poured out his heart to Hashem and Tefillah, his bitterness, and this was done every day, hours. Each time, of course, he became much warmer, closer, more purified, as we learned in the story of Abinazel's wife, the Shvachi Hanan. There he was zecher to what he was zecher, as seen a little by the Sforim, that he wrote them by his Talmidim, as is seen a little by the fact that a person who just learns these Sforim automatically receives, acquires a hidden tshuva. He feels a strong desire to do tshuva, to repent, because he wants to purify himself too. It inspires a person with a feeling to want to be good, to want to turn back to Hashem, to want to leave the wrong ways, the wrong deeds, to emulate at least a little, to copy the ways of the Benazel. This was one of the keys, the main key, of course, to Benazel's greatness. And of course, the Benazel stressed this is the key to every Jew. This type of service, this bitterness, is not made, it is not intended for tzaddikim only. Every Jew, the greatest and the smallest, can join in, can participate in this act, the service of his bitterness. Because Hashem is Shomea Tfilas Kol Peh. No matter what a person is, no matter how far strange the person is, even the worst Russia, the most evil person in the world, if he turns around suddenly, turns his face up to Hashem and says, Hashem, take me back, then he can be assured, 100% certain, that Hashem will accept him warmly. Everything in the past will be forgotten, because Hashem's greatness is infinite, and Hashem's kindness is part of his greatness. No person in the world could ever dream of forgiving someone who hurt him in a manner that's incurable. And yet, this type of disservice is much worse. The lowest type of serf turns against his king, against his master, kaviyachol against Hashem, his creator, and commits the vilest type of acts against the mitzvahs of Hashem, against the Torah. Yet this same person then turns to Hashem and says, I'm sorry for what I've done, I regret this, I beg another chance, another opportunity to serve you, and all is completely forgiven. This is the greatness of Hashem's kindness. So it is made for everyone. Abinadal said, to explain a little deeper, a little clearer, to clarify about this story with the ship, or the small boat. Abinadal took this boat to the river without knowing how to handle this boat. And of course, when he was out far from shore, then he'd find that because of the turbulence of the waters, the boat began to rock so that he was in danger of its capsizing, and he was sure that he was going to drown. There was no chance of being saved because he was too far from shore to seek help. He was certain that his life was in danger. He was in such peril that death was practically imminent. When it came to a point like that, he would just sit there, raise his hands upwards to Hashem, and cry out to Hashem for help. This act, of course, is what saved him. And he saw the wonders, the marvels of Hashem, the powers of Tefillah. And I'll say that this is not a case of a miracle, because Tefillah is above nature, and therefore Tefillah is synonymous with miracles. We say that their fate is governed by the stars. Every person has his fate in the stars. The olden days, not today of course, the olden days there were magicians, stargazers, who could actually read the stars, foretell the future, then it was true. You could foretell the future in the stars if you had the power of reading the stars. But you could not foretell a Jew's future, because whatever was mentioned in the stars could be altered by something more powerful than the stars themselves, and that was tefillah. Above nature, which means the equivalent to a miracle, could be performed with every single tefillah. And we say this today. Miracle that Hashem does for us every day. Why? Because we daven every day. We daven three times a day. Morning, afternoon, evening, night. This is because of the fact these are our tefillahs. These tefillahs are the proclaimers, the creators of miracles. Mendel said, for example, you recall we had the story of his trip to Eretz Yisrael, and how he came to the city of Tveria. He had to escape because the Turks were ready to do battle. The French and the Turks were at war then, and they were about to invade. His life was in danger. He tried to escape from Tveria. The old wall of Tveria is a wall that is, those who have been there, Tiberius, know the old wall is partially embedded in the sea, the Yam Kinneret. There, he tried to climb over the wall and found himself suspended just by his fingertips, and the bottom in the sea were these large rocks jutting up. He couldn't hold down long. If he let go, he would fall and be crushed in the rocks, drowned in the water. And so he just raised his eyes to Hashem and cried out to Hashem, and he was saved. The details were never given as to how, but they are not necessary. The fact that he davened automatically placed him above nature, above the rules and laws of nature, so naturally his life was saved then. May as well stress that this is not just for himself. Every person should learn, should acknowledge the fact that when you live anywheres, you live miles away from any sea or any body of water, you are still in a sea, a rough, churning waters of the sea. We are all at sea. We are all in danger of drowning. We're all in danger of capsizing, and we have to recognize this danger. This means, at least in a sense, spiritually. The Satan, the Yitzhahara, seeks to destroy the spirit of a Jew. And many people who walk the streets, they are living corpses, because spiritually they have died. They have stopped being Shemesh Shabbos. They don't serve Hashem. They don't follow the mitzvahs of Hashem. So physically, they are all there. But there is no life, there is no spirit, there is no soul within them. In Yud Kodesh, we say that the Rosha is cut off, Chas V'Shalom. His life is cut off. With the penalty of Kodesh, that word Kodesh, the Zohar Kodesh says, is actually the same letter as the word Keser. Keser, the crown of a Jew, the highest of the Sfidos, above the mentality of a Jew. The purity that reaches up to the highest of the Sfidos in heaven, that can be come inverted to the lowest form where everything spiritual is lost and becomes kodesh, Chas V'Shalom. So a person's life is constantly in danger because he is beset by temptations and by difficulties in life that could lead him astray. He's got to recognize this danger constantly and to save himself by crying out to Hashem, just as Aben Ezal did when his boat was about to capsize. I know that the difference between life and death is only a hair's breadth, and that he can save himself through the power of tefillah and the tzibbutz. So a person should always, always be oisek, conduct himself with this as a key to life. A person who is Isaac in his business can be assured that with this, eventually, whatever problem he has will be solved. No matter how difficult he finds combating the temptations, the Yitzhahara, a person sometimes thinks that his case is hopeless. Look at others who find so much more easily the means to study Torah, to do mitzvahs, and every step he takes is fraught with peril and with bitterness because he keeps dropping, he keeps falling victim to his Yetzirah. But know that if you keep up this barrage of his bitterness, even though you see no fruit and no results, one day, suddenly, you'll enjoy a breakthrough, but everything will turn bright and light, and all the darkness will fall away. Yetzirah will suddenly fall by the wayside. Yisatan, you'll find yourself victorious if you don't give up hope. If a person maintains a constant vigil and a constant faith, then his tefillah does have effect. You may not feel it at the moment, but it is having effects in heaven. You are building, you are creating your heavenly realm, and this is going to save you eventually if you maintain it. That's what Abayazal's key words were, Ein Shum Yish Belum Klal. No person is ever allowed to give up hope. No person is ever allowed to be depressed. A person should always be besimcha, because you have to know that no matter how dark things are, be besimcha, because there is a light that is coming. We should be zechut to true emunah in that, these words. Abayazal said that the emunah means, explain this in a further vein, emunah means that it's something which is difficult to comprehend. If you understand something, you know it, you see it, that is not faith at all. There's no degree of faith in something which you know. If you know that it's nighttime now, there's no faith necessary. Faith is something where you are in the dark about. You have no proof whatsoever, and yet you believe as surely as though you actually saw it. This in reference to faith in Hashem. Benedel said that there are people who ask questions, Pastor Sholem, about Hashem. These are those who study philosophy, Monolitzlan. They delve into questions about why Hashem does certain things, Pastor Sholem, and so on. And how wonderful is faith when a person accepts completely, without question, the fact of Hashem's existence, the fact that Hashem decides, determines everything that happens, and the fact that everything Hashem does is just and righteous. For example, one of the most difficult phases in Jewish history we just went through recently. How many countless people, Jews, lost their faith because of what occurred in the last Holocaust? When they saw 6 million Jews die, many of them asked the question, how could Hashem allow this to happen? And because they had no answer for it, they actually lost their faith, Rahman al-Islam. This Rabbeinu Zal warned about. You should not ask questions about Hashem, because you do not understand Hashem. You cannot understand Hashem. You are not Hashem yourself. You cannot understand the ways of Hashem. But you must have the pure implicit emunah that Hashem is right. Yishorim darchei Hashem. Tzadik Hashem bechol derochav. Hashem is righteous in all his ways, though we cannot understand it, because our mentality is limited. But the fact that Hashem is Tov L'Kol, Hashem is always good and always right. If with our mortal eyes, seems we see differently, we must know that what we see is not true. What is truth is, what the Torah says, truth is what we believe. Our emunah must be pure, unquestioning about the ways of Hashem, to know always that Tzadik Hashem b'chol derochav. Hashem is righteous in everything that is done, because Yishorim Dachi Hashem. Hashem is pure, and of course with that faith, Tzadik b'munasa yichya. A person with that type of faith can live well, a rich life. Rich life because eventually faith becomes knowledge. One who passes the strict test of faith, severe test of faith and bitter times, he eventually gets to understand it. Even in that case, the people who refused to ask this question, they said they accepted the fact that Hashem wanted this to happen, the sufferings, the great loss that we had then, and eventually they understood the answer, while others who lost their faith could never get to understand this. We cannot go into the answer now, we've discussed it many times. The fact that, as the Tanya says, a person who is Zecha, a person who Moshe was Zecha to die on Kiddush Hashem, has lost, let's say, a few days or a few years of his life. He died prematurely, a few years. Measure those few years or a few days compared to an eternity of inconceivable degree of bliss, pleasures in Gan Eden, the highest level of Gan Eden, which is the reward for those who die on Kiddush Hashem. If we could contact those people now in heaven and ask them if it was worth it, they would laugh at us, naturally. But that, of course, still is dependent upon faith. This requires true, simple faith in the words of Hashem, in the righteousness of Hashem. This is the only path a person should take, because that is the only true path of life. Sadik b'emunasa yichya. Yichya, life is only through this pure emunah. Ben Yadol says further, how great a midah, madrega, it is for a person who not only is himself immersed in the desire to serve Hashem, but also is unselfish, unbegrudging, seeing that other people too. He is happy when he sees other Jews serving Hashem too. About this, of course, Abnasazal was a little surprised when he heard this statement, because he said, it's understood, why would I think, how could I imagine that a Jew would want other Jews to do wrong? Why is this so big a chiddush? What's unusual about a Jew being happy about other Jews serving Hashem also? As I'll explain, the truth is that every person does possess a slight, more or less, a degree of jealousy. Now, if a person is serving Hashem right, he is learning Torah very diligently, he becomes a Talmud Chacham, he sees others learning Torah also, he's happy about that, fine. As long as he remains the wisest one, the biggest Talmud Chacham, he's very happy to have others too. But if he sees others bypassing him, he tries very hard to learn. He finds that his friends have surpassed him in the knowledge of Gemara, knowledge of Torah, begins to hurt him, that they are greater. And he would like to see, of course this is wrong, he'd like to see them fail in certain tests. He'd like to see them stop learning, wait a while he catches up to them and passes them too. What is much worse, of course, is the case of, as we said, a person who loses hope. One who becomes a chassid, very religious, he advances at a fast pace, he learns, he davens kavona, he serves Hashem, avedas Hashem is pure, and then he rises to a height and then suddenly he falls. This happens to practically everyone, or to everyone, because if a person wants to rise, an aliyah, he must have a yirida first. There must be a descent in order to have an ascent. So when a person has his descent, the mitzvah is strong, avedas Hashem, he suddenly is subjected to a test, temptation, he becomes a casualty, he falls, and he does not have the strength to recoup his loss. He cannot return and go back, and so in his weakness, the Satan drags him down still further. Of course, deep in his heart, he cries over this very bitterly. The fact that he has lost ground, the fact that he is not as good as he was before. And he always yearns for the good old days, the good times when he was able to serve Hashem so well, when he spent his time in learning Torah and davening, his kavana was so much purer and better. And now he finds that his serving Hashem is sort of, there's a coldness that has beset him. And when he sees others who are also in this Aveda, serving Hashem, and he sees that they are davening with such a fervency, that davening is so much better than his, learning is so much better, there he feels a deep hurt and a jealousy. He tries to discourage them by telling them, you think that you're good now, wait until you fall. Don't expect to remain as good as you are. You're going to fall, you're going to drop. This is only temporary. This way he tries to bring them down to his level, Chas v'Shalom, one of his son. This is what the Ben Ezra said, that the true act of a good Jew, the real Aveda of a Jew is, if Chas v'Shalom, a Jew dropped, if he did fall, he finds that his serving Hashem is to a much lesser degree, he still should try his best to encourage others, to help them, to tell them, Chazak Ochi, don't worry if something happens, be strong, be besimcha, Hashem will always take you back, to elevate another Jew, even though he himself has fallen and cannot rise that much. This is truly serving Hashem. Not only that, but if a Jew does that, the Ben Ezra says he is assured that by doing that, he himself will return, much more than by his own efforts for himself. By concentrating on helping others will help him much more than by trying for himself alone. This, again, is the true Avedas Hashem and will result in the highest improvement in Avedas Hashem for himself. The Pasuk says, Chizku v'yimtzu kol miyachal Hashem. Whatever this means, a person should be strong, very stubborn. Those who hope, who look forward to anticipate coming close to Hashem, who hope and anticipate but do not succeed. This is what it means, apparently. This means, then, that a person should remain very strong in his hopes of coming close to Hashem, even if he does not succeed in this. Just the hope itself, the desire to come close to Hashem, is that vital that is considered serving Hashem itself. The Ratzon, the desire to come close to Hashem, is more than the action itself. This same Ratzon a person should show to his friend. If he sees his friend striving hard to serve Hashem, trying to learn better, to learn more, and not succeeding too well, he should tell his friend these same words, Chizku v'yimtzu, be strong, be powerful, be fearless. Be fearless because you are at war. This is an actual melchama. Melchemes hayetza, melchemes hachayim. Throughout a person's lifetime, he is constantly in battle, battling his worst enemy. The enemy is the Satan, the Yetzihara, the Malach HaMavis. All three are the same angel. This Yetzihara, who tries to persuade him to leave religion, to commit sins, the moment he succeeds even slightly, he quickly flies off to heaven, and there he becomes the Satan, the Mekatereg, the attorney at the heavenly court, to charge this Jew with the sins which he himself had persuaded the Jew to commit. And when he wins a conviction, he is then given the right to take the Jew's life. He becomes the Malach HaMavis, Chas v'Shalom. So these words, it is this battle, that person became a casualty. In this battle, in this war, the key words in this battle are the words that Kohen Gadol said to the Jews when they went out to war. He told them, Al tinu v'al tartzu, do not fear, do not be frightened, do not tremble, do not be afraid of the sounds of battle. You're going to hear the clashes of swords and spear and armor, the horse's hoofs. Do not fear at all. The main thing is courage, fearlessness, and determination to win out in this battle. If you have that courage, if you constantly maintain your status of putting all your effort into it, you definitely will be victorious ultimately. A Jew must win out because he is a member of the Am Yisrael. Yisrael. Yisrael means to overpower. Kael means the Malach. This Malach, the Satan, the Yitzhar Malach HaMavis, can be defeated just by the willpower of a Jew. The key is, Kol Miyachlam Hashem, It's not what you do, it's your hope. It's your effort. It's your maintaining this hope, not giving up hope, that will prove victorious in the end. Again, Menadel speaks about the power of tefillah. Whether this tefillah is the regular davening or whether it is a spedus. Point is, the tefillah must have strength, bodily strength, physical strength put into it. Person cannot relax while he davens. He is supposed to concentrate all his efforts into this tefillah, to a point that when a person finishes davening, the person really finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, if he's really a tzaddik, will find that he is exhausted because he put all his power into it. Every one of his 248 organs of his body joined into this battle against wrong thoughts, joined into this concentration effort in davening to Hashem with purity. We say, Kol Atzmeisai Temerna, every one of my bones, every one of the parts of my body will join in. I daven with every single part of my body, not just the mouth or the heart. Every aver, every gid joins into this effort to daven with purity. This kind of davening does take physical effort. Avinazar, when he derided his Talmidim, who were great tzaddikim too, but in relation to, relatively, he wanted to strengthen them, so he belittled them, in order to elevate them. He told them that you're davening with koyach. When you daven, you put your koyach into it, your power into it. I'll give you a mushel what it's like, he said. When I was traveling from Eretz Yisrael, in a trip to Eretz Yisrael, to and from, Benazel was on a ship. You recall the warship, Turkish warship, where he was forced into labor on the ship. At one point, they mobilized all hands on deck to help out with bailing out the water, then to handle the anchor. To pull up the anchor is very heavy because it's embedded deeply into the bottom of the sea. They called on all the hands to pull on this rope and exert every ounce of strength. Benazel was not one to couldn't use much strength, because all the fasts he had experienced had weakened him, had sapped his strength. And yet if he would not use all his strength, really exert himself, he would be beaten then. So what he did was, he bent forward, held his breath, and pretended he was pulling, but holding his breath, it looked like he was working so hard, he was the best one of the class. He pulled harder than anyone else, while actually he was using no strength at all. This was all a pretense. And I said to Talmidim that your davening is the same thing. You hear, you see the koyach he used, and the cries, and the movements, and the motions. It's all a pretense, because inside there's a coldness inside of you. On the outside, your actions sound big, which means you must awaken the fact that your davening is not really koyach, because really, I don't see you're being exhausted, I don't see the strength being ebbed from you through davening. You must actually put the true, full koyach being into this tefillah. Then, that's called tefillah b'koyach and tefillah b'emes. Benel said in the Inyan of Bitochin, having faith in Hashem, this is very vital for every person, rich or poor. Bitochin means to have confidence that Hashem is going to help. Now, for example, there are some people, or just about every person, feels that he does not have all his needs. He is still lacking something. He seeks a special goal. If he has wealth, he wants still more. If he has a certain amount of riches, he wants a more beautiful home. He wants to have a larger bank account. He wants to have more acreage. He wants more possessions, more power. Each person keeps on seeking more, and thereby he's expending part of his life and also causing himself difficulty in that. even the wealthiest person, seeking to gain more money, is forced to travel, if necessary, out of town, or to invest in large projects, whereby he becomes a Baal Chayv. He falls into debt. Chas v'shalom. This debt, of course, becomes a stranglehold over this person. The same thing applies to people of moderate means, or those who are poor, especially, who need money for clothes, simple clothing, and food. The person feels, especially if his wife nags him, she wants new clothes, he can't refuse because he feels she is right. Same time, he suffers through her nagging. And so, he doesn't have the means for it, he'll go out and borrow it. Or, the fact they want better food to eat, he doesn't have it, so he'll be forced into debt by going out to borrow. Benedel says that this going into debt is, at times, a fatal error. Because, actually, this means that the person does not have bitachon in Hashem. Does not have a true faith in Hashem. If he did have faith, then he would wait. Wait your turn. Your turn will come because Hashem will get to you and give you your food, give you your needs when the time is ready. And Hashem knows when that time is. That pasuk, and we say in Ashrei Einei Kelach Yisabedu, all eyes are turned to Hashem. The Atta Nesin Lahem Es Achlam. Hashem, you give them their food, their necessary requirements for life. Be'itai, each one in his time. If a person wants to hurry this, wants to advance before his time, he is then forced into debt, and this can prove his downfall. So the key, Benazel's famous words are, that if you feel you must have something, whether it's food or clothing or any necessity, then consider it a debt. You owe yourself a new suit, a new garment. Better to owe it to yourself than to borrow the money and be in debt to someone else. Of course, this can again prove disastrous later on. Person should never, ever owe money to anyone. Person never knows what can result. If one, chas v'shalom, dies with debts that are unpaid, they must be paid. Debts must be paid for the person's record is clear in heaven to allow him entry into Gan Eden. But if not, then Rachmanu Litzlan, this can mean actually being forced to come down again as a Gilgul, to live again in this world, this bitter type of world which is coming to Gehenna. You go through a whole lifetime just because he has to pay back a certain debt to somebody, and not to pay it back to this person's descendants, his family or so, because of the fact that he incurred this debt previously. And that surely doesn't pay, because there is always the danger imminent that in coming to this world again, he might amass, accumulate new sins, chas v'shalom, which could destroy him. So therefore, the key to Benedict also is, do not ever go into debt, ashrei to that person that can go to sleep at night and on his bed think, I owe no one anything. I am chayiv only to Hashem. The debt that a Jew owes is always mitzvahs. You find that all mitzvahs in the Torah, Nosazal says, use the word chayiv, a debt. Chayiv odom l'haniach tefillin. Versus mechuyav, a debt to yours of putting on tefillin each day. Chayiv odom, nishmer Shabbos. Mechuyav, he has a debt to Hashem to fulfill all the mitzvahs in the Torah. But only to Hashem and to no mortal being. A person can avoid debts, no matter how difficult the situation is, if he just has the true midah of bitachon in Hashem and patience. By being patient, by having faith in Hashem, he should know that the fact is that all eyes turn to Hashem. And know that Atta Neisena Mesochon Bita Hashem will come to you when your time is due. Now, Hashem knows when that time is due, what is best for you. If it's the will of Hashem that right now you should be deprived of this certain item, accept that with bitachon. Hashem knows best, that's the way it should be. If you do that, you'll be able to serve Hashem in true wealth afterwards. We should be zechut to accept these gems of advice from Rabbi Nizal, to serve Hashem with true bitachon, true emuna, the daven with true kayach, with emuna in the fact that our words are being listened to, being accepted by Hashem. Emuna in the tzaddik emes. With this emuna, we should be zechut to see ultimately with our eyes, see the coming of Mashiach, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, the downfall of all the Sinai Israel, the victory of the Jews eternally. Amen. Amen.